First start recording?
Kick it in.
All right, we'll do that. And answer.
Hello.
Ah. And we are recording.
Hello, hello.
Okay, we are recording.
Come in and join us. We are recording. All right, the time is 3 o'clock. Today is September 19th, 2018. This is a meeting of the Leon County Research and Development Authority's Executive Committee meeting. There are no guests to introduce. Are there any modifications to the agenda?
Just need to entertain a motion to approve Kristen Dozier participating by telephone.
So moved.
And is there a second?
Second.
And is any opposition to that? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign, and motion carries. No public comments, since there's no public here. We have the minutes of the July 23rd meeting. Chair has read those. They appear to be accurate and in order. If there are any suggestions for additions, revisions, omissions, please signify by saying so now. Hearing none, then by automatic, they stand approved. Does that work?
I can make a motion that we approve the minutes.
All right, okay. Make a motion to approve without opposition.
Word of Florida, there are no shortcuts.
Yeah, without opposition, they are approved. Motion carries. First item on the agenda is discussion of the property casualty insurance renewal. That is available to you as attachment B. We call your attention to it now, and our executive director has the floor.
On page 23 of the agenda packet, you will see what I have up here on the screen, which is a summary of the proposed premiums. You can see the prior year and the current year renewal. There is not a significant increase. It's 2.5%. It's been relatively flat for the last several years. He did go out to the market this year, and what we have been seeing is most of these companies can't be competitive, and when they can't be competitive, they don't, because they know what the prior year premium was, and they can't be competitive, they don't even respond. I know for a fact that they did some of the work because they actually came out and visited a couple of the buildings. So this is a list of the folks that he went out to, but we will be staying with our current carriers. One of the important things to know about the insurance coverage is, particularly on the property coverage, is that we are grandfathered in on this $25,000 deductible per occurrence, which typically, and we've talked about this before, all the other carriers have a percentage, and I think it's usually 2% of the covered. Yeah, so. And that's a significant difference in our deductibles. So
that's good. You can actually pay for a lot of the roof for that.
Yeah. So
with that deductible.
Yeah. At this point, there's no reason for us to make a change as long as you're willing to keep that $25,000. There is a savings if you go to that 2% deductible. It's, I think last time we looked, it was about $10,000. But when you weigh that risk of having to pay $10,000 versus what the deductible is. You know, it's crazy amount of money difference. So I don't remember the exact calculation, but the board in the past has typically said, being the risk-averse government board that we are, that they'd rather not take that added risk with the higher deductible.
Well, 12 million, 2%, 1% is I got the user.
It's 100 something.
It's 100,000.
Yeah. But it's per building, so if you go to each building, it can still be a significant amount of money.
I think it's your biggest risk.
No. Right. So, any questions?
I move to sign the letter.
Move to accept this.
That proposal.
This proposal.
Okay. Motion made.
Second.
Second. There's a motion to renew or extend our annual our insurance coverage with an increase of $1,289.18, which basically is a 2.5% increase over the prior year, which basically covers inflation. Motion is made and seconded. Any further discussion? Those in favor of the proposal and the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. You have available under attachment C, the proposed budget for 2017-2018. Our treasurer is here, April Salter. Do you care to make comment and recommendations?
The committee met. We went through it in some detail, not significant changes. And I'll let Ron kind of explain the details on it. But we recommended approval, the budget as presented.
Yeah, the big changes have to do with IT services. They did a one-year lease. They may extend for another month, is what I'm hearing, but this budget only includes through the end of the end of March, which is when the lease runs out.
Are we asking for more than that for extension? Are they gonna be renewed?
No, it's a month to month after that. That's what that lease permits, and it was just intended to be while they're doing the renovation of the IT services building. SBDC canceled their lease back in May. These are the differences between the current year budget and the prior year budget. So you have other details on the next page, which exhibit, which I'll explain a little bit more of. But when you compare last year's budget to this year's budget, these are the bit more significant changes that happened. So you had the IT services, which wasn't even budgeted last year. So that difference is $110,000. The SBDC canceled their lease. That's about $30,000. Sunnyland is, just so you know, they are gone. So that lease is done. They've removed all of their infrastructure that's on the property. It is bare ground once again. They even removed the fence that they put up. So the only thing I will tell you is there may be a few holes out there from the post holes, but I was assured that if that's an issue, they'll come back and deal with that. But we think nature will take its course on filling the post holes. The EEP program, we had originally budgeted $22,500 last year, expecting to get grant income. And as it turns out, we didn't get any of that. But we do expect that we will actually receive some this year. But when you compare budget year to budget year, we didn't change that. We are going to get $15,000 this year, but instead of being for EEP, it's going to be for the SBIR CTR program, and that's coming from FAMU's EDA grant money that they got. So that's that difference. Interest income, we did our best attempt at trying to estimate what that income would be based on declining balances as we spend the $1.8 million. And then also basically just holding the interest rates level, so any gains in interest rates will benefit from above budget.
Go back to the IT.
Yep.
Discussion, $100,000 expense.
That's revenue. That's revenue that we will have.
Where's the ground?
It's this $110,000.
And can I ask, it seems like this is the most important thing that we deal with. And so I think it would be nice if the members of the committee had copies of the budget here in front of them, because I know Ken doesn't and you don't. Would it be possible to print those out?
Sure, certainly.
So we can at least look at that, because I do think this is important for everyone to,
yeah, I didn't
to
print
know about.
Package.
Yeah, no, it's too much to print.
I have it on my phone, but I couldn't read it.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Do you think this schedule would be enough?
Yeah, I think that would be fine. And then maybe the next two pages?
The variance?
Yes.
The
thank you.
Admin?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Well, there's 9 pages. Can we print
yeah,
those?
We, yeah, we can put the whole
is
thing.
It, yeah.
Well, send it to me.
Two all. Sets of 9.
Yeah, if you would. I think you have it in the, if you go to the folder.
Just because I do think it's important for everyone to understand that.
So if you just print exhibit, go to the exhibit
issue,
C
drop
and the
down
share
the,
folder.
Yeah, like $5 a square foot. Crazy.
Exhibit, all of Exhibit C, you know, there's a separate standalone document in the shared folder mm-hmm. for executive committee. If you just print that document and make 5 copies.
And I have a copy and David has a copy.
We just need two.
Oh, I'm sorry, just 2 copies.
Just yeah, just keep it simple.
My printer is, my computer's not working.
Maybe while we're waiting for that, we take another agenda item up.
Go back to that.
It's actually
okay.
The other ones are going to be more complicated.
Okay.
Go back to the question.
Okay.
What is the $100,000 of the income we receive by providing IT services?
No, it's a lease. It's a lease
with
FSU's IT services.
It's for FSU IT Services. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I just assume we all have the context. So IT Services is renovating the old Elwood building. So last April, they did a 12-month lease of the Morgan building, about 13,000 square feet.
The whole temporary people from Elwood building that needed temporary space.
So when you compare, we did not budget for that this fiscal year. And so when you compare last fiscal year to this upcoming fiscal year, where we will have 6 months of lease revenue, that difference is $110,000. For the full year, it's $220,000. But when you compare budget year to budget year, it's that. So it's kind of, you know, it's middle of both years. And the numbers make more sense when you look at it in the context of this schedule right here, because all of those comparisons I show. So this is the proposed budget for the upcoming year. This is the current fiscal year budget here. I'm forecasting what I think is actually going to happen the rest of the year. So here's the forecast versus the current year, and then this is the proposed budget versus the current year budget. So that narrative is really addressing this column right here. It's explaining all the differences, what we thought we were going to do last year versus what we think we're going to do next year. This is to show what we think is going to happen next year versus what we think is actually going to end up this year, the forecast.
Okay.
And so to me, the big issue is this number down here. But just because, you know, strange things happen, but this is what we think the actual final year numbers are going to look like, which is a positive $127,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, we only budgeted to make, if you leave out the capital expenditures, basically a break even. And all of that was because of IT Services for the most part. And there, in that schedule, there is a schedule in there. That's the next one that shows what are those variances. Again, the big one, the $93,442, that's the IT Services lease. $110,000 of it is that. The rest of it is just the other stuff. Some of these are minor. Interest is up $21,000 because of rising interest rates. The EEP program, we talked about the differences in that grant. We are going to get $15,000 or almost $15,000 actual this year from that grant, and then it's a three-year grant, so $15,000 a year. The authority employee expense, that was timing of when we hired Michael. We had budgeted to hire him in January, and he didn't start till the end of January. There's some services that we elected not to do at that time, like power wash the buildings, although we may, in fact, get that done before the end of the year. But at the time we did this, we had not done it yet. And professional fees is just legal that we didn't spend. So we have positive variance of $19,000 in operating expenses, a positive variance of $106,000 in revenue. So a net positive of $125,000 in net operating income, better than budget.
Can I ask my English major
Sure.
version of the budget questions?
Let me get my thesaurus.
Yeah, we got more money. Things are looking good in terms of lining up the figures. I get that. And I apologize if this is in the narrative, but just because you're the person with the big picture, my question always is, how is it looking in terms of the trends? So obviously, we've got a lot of vacancies. We've had some unexpected lease revenue. Great. So things are looking pretty. We can talk about this when we get to this.
Yeah.
But.
So basically,
how does it make you feel, Ron, the whole deal?
I'm good for another year.
Okay.
Okay, but that's the thing I do think is important for us to talk about is the next 3 years. Is it 2022?
Yeah, and that's in the narrative as well. Yeah. You know, the big issue is the what's coming down the road is the FIPS deal. And where did I put that? Oh, that's in the income section up here. Okay. It says, while no significant budget changes are expected this year for the FIPS building, the Florida Department of Transportation's lease expires 9/30/2022. The renewal is at $2 a foot versus $8.77 a foot, which is a reduction of about $100,000 a year for 5 years in revenue. So
starting
half
2022.
October 1st.
But that's significant. That's a half $1 million over a five-year period. So. You know, that's, and $2 a square foot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. We didn't negotiate that deal. So.
Didn't have Jim on the board, no good.
Well, we were desperate. None of us was here. I mean,
no, nobody was here.
Yeah, yeah, so it was probably a desperate situation, period. I don't know.
We've debated on why they may have done it, but. But the fact of the matter is, yes, in 4 years, we're going to have a big hole to fill.
Okay.
Next year, after March or April, depending on what IT services does, we're going to have that hole is going to be there again unless we lease that space. And the only other real lease issue I see is potentially is Anthropology, which is I believe a couple hundred thousand dollars a year. They did a 2 year lease, I believe, with 2 1 year options, but. Everything we're being told is that's not in imminent danger of leaving. It's just...
We always have tenants.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, coming and going.
Right.
But those are the big... Those are the
big issues. You need to reserve so that if it takes they have 10 months to run spaces, you can have 10 months to run spaces.
Well, in this case, we got tenants staying, potentially, at a really low rate that's going to hit us.
Yeah. And
all those rates look really...
And
I'm going to tell you what, rates are moving up now.
Lease rates?
Yeah. And Joanna was telling me now before she read the warehouse rates were up 6% year to date. And that's in Tallahassee market. And to me, that's scratching the surface of what all of these buildings are worth today, the asphalt parking lot, everything you'd have to do to replace what is in the marketplace today. There's stuff out by the airport, that old dumpy airport industrial park is all being taken up, bought, leased out. Mm-hmm. We're running out of space. It's not the same space that you've got here. And yours, while it has some limitations because of the setting and the cost and so forth, with the focus on research at FSU and the focus on incubation and all that here, I really think you're going to draw a lot more attention, and I think it's going to bring your rates up. I just think you got to hold fast a little bit higher at the moment.
And how often do we do a market analysis to look at rates?
We haven't. I mean, there's been some, basically some work I've done with FSU in terms of what they're able to lease in other areas, but in this market we really haven't.
And, yeah. And it is unique, obviously, yeah. But still,
and
it
we
would
were,
be...
We were at $14.50 when I started, and I've got it to $16.60.
But that's full service?
Yeah, full service.
You know what the CAM charges are as a part of that?
CAM is really pretty minimal, and actually I take that back. CAM is not included
expenses.
In
expenses.
Triple
net expenses.
Not off the top of my head, no.
Well, I think you're right. It would be a good idea to do a market survey, coming out, having some space, and having plans, and then
just to have in our back pocket.
Oh yeah, my daughter Joanna serves on the city's utility authority, and she's had a great deal of success finding where fire service fees. Been inappropriately charged, not the correct code or whatever in front of it. And if you don't mind, I'll have her call you, and she'd be glad to do it for free. I'll sit to that.
You already know she'd be glad to do it.
Yeah.
Enthusiastically, yes.
And Ron, I probably asked you this before, probably last year. Have we fly-specced the DOT lease to make sure there isn't some way to make something different happen?
actually, I think you and I both looked at it.
Yeah.
The one possibility is to, one that we've talked about is the possibility of renegotiating the lease before the end and potentially spreading that difference into some future lease term. So if you know the market is X and you want to take that difference and spread it over a 10-year renewal, and they get something below market for that 10 years, that might be one way to soften the blow.
When do those leases begin to expire?
10/1/22.
Okay. Well, I mean, we've got plenty of time,
but
it, you know, I do think we need to keep an eye on that because it's a lot of money.
And one thing, and it's certainly on my radar, but the one thing to keep in mind in all of this is the reserve funds. So
what?
Reserve funds. So as you said, it is, that's part of the business. You know, you have vacancies, and so you just need to.
Yeah, but if you triple net expenses of $5 or something on that, by the time you put the utility in these buildings, then you're getting down into, you know, fully conditioned space, with, I'd call it Class A space.
Class C.
Well, you call it that, but it's because of the surroundings and all of the genius that's in this park. But who knows what the next use will be?
Yeah, and the challenge is this is not just common office space that anyone can go into. I mean, we have restrictions on what you can put in here, so the market is different. Right. You know, you can't. It's just not the general office market.
Mm-hmm.
So that. The supply side is not as big. I mean, the demand side is not as big as maybe for the general office market. So.
Can I make a comment real quick?
Yes, ma'am. You have the floor.
Thank you. And in case I repeat anything else, I'm losing a few things Kim said a few times, so I hope I heard everything correctly. I, backing on the question about looking at the rates, kind of studying that. I'm not sure if April or Ann said that, but OEV at tomorrow's workshop is going to consider a site selection inventory contract. I got a presentation on this at the Appalachia Regional Planning Council Board last week, and it's a company out of Louisiana, and if I were there, I'd show you all a few different things, but we can wait. We may want to know more about this at board meeting or at our strategic planning meeting, but I have thought that this study, I think OEB will agree to it, will probably help us elevate some of the property we have and tie it in with other marketing efforts through OEB and others. So that's one thing, just as we look at the future, the next few years, that might be valuable to us. On the other side, when we talk about the $1.8 million in Collins Building, just looking at the budget, it seems like, I mean, it seemed like our most expensive buildings. I mean, I know there's lots of variables here with rent, utilities, things like that, but we got to look at Morgan's and Collins to be marketable if we're not doing a major transformation. I mean, if it's, I've got questions about white boxing it and whether or not that might be more leasable than looking at the concrete block walls and things like, you know, kind of how Collins looks right now. I can say those questions, but it seems like there's rate studies, but then also what can we do to make our buildings more marketable with potentially
limited
funds. Is that in line with what you all were talking about as well?
I don't think anybody was talking about anything except other than to see if you would compare, have a comparable product out there. What's it rent for? You know, and certainly if you spent money on them and changed their quality or their flexibility, it would be worth more. But I think what we've got is what we need to know what we. And if we don't change it, what's it worth? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I was taking that, Kim, and building on it. To Ron's point, connecting those two, it is unique space, and we are marketing to a particularly smaller group of tenants than what you would be doing with your buildings at various places in the community. So it might be partly, you know, what's the rate, but also making them marketable to that group. I'm good. More conversation on that one for later. It's just, I think it directly relates to the next topic with 1.8.
Well, this obviously is something that needs to be brought up in our strategic planning and dwelled into for good. We don't want to be sitting here and looking back 3 years in the future and say, boy, we should have jumped on this earlier. It's good to know it now, and it's good that we are in a position, hopefully, to start addressing it. Other comments, Ron or April?
No.
Were there any other questions on the budget you want me to go through?
We didn't put any money in here, I'm going to assume, for the potential for Dan Falls Turbo Corps to lease some space temporarily from us, did we?
No, we did not.
And when we put in the money for the trail around the park, are there also extensions to the sidewalk or
yes.
extensions to buildings that would be built into that?
Yes.
So access is easy. Okay, so
relatively.
All that's in place.
Yes. I need a little parking space out at the
parking as well, okay.
Just a few spots out there.
All right. You have before you a proposal. It just comes with a recommendation from the budget committee that we approve the budget for the 2018-2019 year. That budget would be recommending a total income of $1,016,000. With expenses of 800 and let's see if I got that line right, I'm right, of about $888,000, I believe I'm on the right line.
Now that's, you're looking at the forecast?
I'm sorry, wrong line, the $979,000 in expenses, which would give us a favorable flow of about $15,000.
Yeah, and I highlighted there that the if you exclude the $1.8 million for the Collins building, we've got other capital expenditures of about $15,000, so it's pretty much a break-even the way we have this budget.
Right.
It's break-even for the year.
Slightly favorable. $15,000.
$279. Because
yeah, okay.
there's $15,000 in capital expenditures we have under the Johnson building.
Yep.
That's our typical HVAC expenditures replacements.
Yep.
So that's included in that. So if you take that $15,279 minus the $15, we are at $279 positive.
That's a close call.
We won't spend it all in one place.
I guess I'd say the nice thing is looking at the current year's forecast, and the current year forecast is really looking good.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of an anomaly. But
a lot of anomaly.
A lot of anomaly. But that's looking good. We put that money in the bank, and hopefully we don't have to have a rainy day to spend it. Is there a motion to approve the recommendation of the budget committee and to recommend this to the board for its approval?
I'll
move it. Motion's made. Is there a second?
Look at it, mate. I'll second.
And second.
No, it's not a treasure. I don't know if I should be moving it or not.
Well, as chair, you could have moved it.
Yeah, well, just,
you
know.
That's all right.
Rather have the concurrence of the
chair
other.
Chair of the budget committee.
Folks.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. It is to approve the budget as presented. Those signify, those agreeing to recommending this to the board. Board has to act on this, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, then I'd have to ratify your decision.
Any opposing? Motion carries. All right. We got through that piece. At this point in time, let's look at and have discussion on the EDA grant application.
I sent you a little teaser this morning. Apologize for the lateness of it. This has been a moving target and moving rapidly for the last few weeks. I sent a letter this morning to, well, actually, this is the letter. I don't expect you to read this. I got bullet points, but I wanted you to know that we sent a letter on August 29th requesting $2 million from the Office of Economic Vitality. Chair Ramsey and I have been making the rounds. We have something Ann's familiar with. We did our last one this morning. We visited 11 of the 12 commissioners. And made our pitch, and it was all pretty well received.
When are they going to vote on this? Because it might not be the same for us.
Tomorrow.
Are they? Okay.
Yes. So So basically what we presented, I want to just show you real quick some of the stuff we presented to them, yeah, and maybe some of the stuff that's changed.
So and when did you send your original letter?
29.
Asking for the money?
August 29th. Yeah. So we request, or basically we gave them the idea of the same stuff we presented to y'all at the board meeting, the $17 million mixed-use incubator, 40,000 square feet on 3.5 acres. You know, the combination of basically mixed use, all of those mixed use facilities, and then we gave them the reasoning behind it about commercialization, creating jobs. What's that?
Don't do that. Hold right there.
Oh, you should know all this stuff. Right?
Well, I should know it all, but I'm reading along a little bit.
Well, you got to understand, Dave and I have been doing this 11 times, and we have learned to go really fast because that's all you got with these folks. Is you got to go really fast.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. Again, this is just again. This is what we've talked about building.
We've all talked about this.
And this is, we've made the connection for them between what OEV did in their incubator study. They said that here are five gaps that the incubator study theirs identified, and we basically told them we're going to solve that. We're going to close those gaps for you, or at least substantially close those gaps. We also brought up the point of the companies that we've lost to places like Alachua, Daytona, and at Embry-Riddle, and that tends to get their attention. This is not just speculation. I mean, there are real companies out there. We talked about Rick Carney's companies and things like that. So then we basically told them that we're positioned to make this happen. You know, we have the relationships with FSU and FAMU to be the front door to the connections that we can make inside the universities, whether it's the equipment or the talent, between private companies and the universities. We talked about hiring Michael, that when I went down to UCF and visited the Central Florida Research Park and their incubator, and their incubator manager said the most important thing you can do in developing an incubator is hire your manager before you develop it, which is what we've done. And so I've made that point very strongly. We don't have to go out and find somebody to run an incubator. We don't have to have somebody else help us. Hopefully that's not her heartbeat for me. you want to redial her? And just, you might be able to just hit redial.
You might take a nap.
Well, she might become ill. Yeah.
How long will it take her to figure out we're not shooting that on?
He didn't make her come
down. Yeah. Okay. So, and basically, we have the land. We've done the feasibility study and the business plan. We've done all the work. That was the point that we made. And then the other thing was to make sure that they understood that this incubator is positioned a little differently than some of the other incubators in town. We're not trying to take over what they're doing. As a matter of fact, we're going to compliment them. They may be able to help us with their education programs that we won't have to duplicate. We'll, you know, send some of our companies through the Co-Starters program at Domi, for example, before they come to us or when they first get to us. So there's really not a competition there so much. So when we talked about this in the board meeting, we talked about this 50-50 match proposal that we were going to go after 8.5 from the feds, 2 from the state, 2 from OEV, 2 from FAMU, and 2.5 from FSU. Well, that didn't work so well. So the state was not able to put anything in. It was too late to get anything. There wasn't enough time to get anything from the Florida Job Growth Grant Fund, we were told. And FAMU did their best to try to see what they could come up with. They have offered $100,000. I asked them that, or basically said that, that's not going to help us on the construction side, but we'll be talking to you about how we might be able to use that on the startup of the facility, maybe on equipment or something like that. But in the meantime, please keep us in mind as you're planning for the future and budgeting, and you know, where can you help us in a bigger way? So we've made that ask. Kristen has been instrumental in conversations with DEO that basically led to the DEO's conversation with EDA and also the Appalachian Regional Planning Council to come up with a proposal to do a 60-40 match. There's an opportunity with some special issues involved tied to the brain drain issue. That
that doesn't include Alzheimer's.
Not really money. Yeah.
So if we can substantiate the claim that there's a substantial brain drain in the region and provide the data, then we may be eligible for a 60-40 match.
You may have missed that. I'm sorry.
KCCI has that data.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they work extensively on.
And who's?
Betsy Couch is the director.
Okay.
And I'll be glad.
I'll send you her contact right now. That's an excellent suggestion.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And did you mean to say DEO is going to help with this?
No.
No, it's OEB who's going to.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
So on the left is what we had planned.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the right is where we are now.
Right.
Okay.
As of yesterday afternoon.
So if we get a 60-40 match.
It's pretty close if you can do it that way.
It's exactly.
You right. got a commitment from MSU. You got a commitment from us. And then you, if you got a commitment from OEB.
Well, this actually.
They're going to vote on it tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Okay. So we actually don't have a commitment from us yet. That's what we got to talk about. But.
Well, I would like to get one from us if we're asking for all that from everybody else.
And that is a good point. So, and I think the others may feel the same way. But yeah. The...
you should have done that first.
But yeah. One thing...
Make the rest of it.
What that does is take out the Collins building room.
Yeah, let's got to talk. We got to talk about what's going to happen as a result.
We'll have to give up to get
so, and I'll get there in just a second. You're way ahead of me.
Okay.
As usual. But yeah, that is an issue. And... So, the other thing we did is we increased the ask from OEB from $2 million to $2.5 million, okay? And so, yes, if the OEB proposal looks pretty good. So, they're going to discuss it tomorrow at the workshop, at the IA workshop, starting at 3 o'clock. And
do we need to have people there? Or?
We will not be presenting. Staff will be presenting.
And there's no public comments or...
Well, I will be there. I think Ronnie will be there.
Yeah, we have made 11 meetings, and we have made the pitch. We've answered their questions. I don't know about you, Dave, but I feel pretty strongly that we have at least 11 of 12 votes.
I think we have, I'd say 11 and a half of 12.
Yes.
Is half running for election?
No.
We only had one that gave a little bit of a concern, believing that when Kim Rivers and everybody put this thing together, I don't know how many different proposals were on the table and things they said we need to do.
The Imagine Tallahassee process.
Yeah, it seemed like there were 20 or so, some number, but they picked number one as the airport, number two as the Madison Mile and Convention Center, and then they said, now the rest of these we'll decide later. And one commissioner said, it was his opinion, that all of those would be vetted at the same time. Vince came back and told him that's just not the case. Whichever one steps up and presents the best case first, or something that the county city really needs to do, will get attention first. And so we hope that mollified or negated his concern. But the rest of them just gave, and we've all been there before, but all the body language, that a boy, go forward, we're behind you, rah, 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 and but we'll see tomorrow. We didn't hear any other concern at all. A lot of comments, we need to be doing this all along, let's get it going, I'm behind you. But
the ask in that list was for $5,500 a year for the wetland support. Some of that I would expect to be operational support.
That's not what this is, and the reason is that they like the idea of bricks and mortar for a project.
That's true because the others are programs, not projects.
Exactly, yeah. And that's I think one of the things that helps sell this. It's a hard asset. So
and FAMU's just can't come in with anything, even $100,000, $200,000.
No, he has $100,000.
Okay,
but. I think the feeling is that it might be it might look worse
to
put 100 in there than to say they just don't have it at this point in time and we'll come back and look at it later.
Yeah, I think
see that both ways, but
yeah, it's that's what I'm saying. I just
And a nice thing about this move from 2 million to 2.5 million. Well, let's back up a little bit. Our first day of bidding commissioners and all, we were pitching at 2 million. Then things changed right in the middle before the next morning. We were saying, all right, this 60-40 might be in play, but we'd need 2.5 if we could kick in 1.8. So Vince has basically said, with Kristen's discussion with him, that instead of you guys having to come and make the pitch, this now needs to be 2.5. We think it would be appropriate for staff to make that recommendation. And you guys don't have to stand up there and beg for it. So at this point, it is believed that the staff will come back and say, all of it said 2 million in the papers you got the other day. We believe 2.5 is what it's going to take and what we recommend.
And this letter that you have before
Kristen,
you.
Kristen, I want to tell you how much we appreciate your working on that for us.
Of course, Dave. Ron, you were about to say the letter in front of everyone is the supplement information, right?
Yes. This is.
I was waiting for you guys to wrap up. I did want to make a couple comments, but this has just been incredible 7 weeks. Our team has done an amazing job.
Awesome.
Yeah. So this has gone out?
No.
No.
I need your approval before we do this. But I think there also needs to be a discussion about the 1.8 and the impact that will have. Okay? It's not a slam dunk.
Ron, I'm sorry. Before you get there, I wanted to let you finish up. Can I make a couple of comments?
Yeah, go ahead.
About tomorrow?
Sure.
Okay. April, I think you'd asked about public comments at the meeting. This is a workshop, so we typically don't have public comments. I think Ron and Dave have just been beating the pavement, done an exceptional job in the last couple weeks. So, and obviously, I don't get specifics from them, sunshine, things like that, but I'm glad for the general reports, and I think we're probably in a good place. But I also want to put a fine point on what Dave said about Vince's response and the staff's response to the day after our board meeting in early August. I sat down with Vince and kind of outlined the opportunity. He did not miss a beat. He said this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing with the sales tax. It's brick and mortar. And I'll also say in an email I sent to Ron a couple weeks ago, reading this item that Ron and Michael prepared to send to OEB, it was just exceptional. I can't tell you how happy and just overcome I was, because we have done everything we needed to do for the last 3 years, position ourselves in the right place to make this ask and for people to feel the urgency. So with all that said, I think we're in the right position, but if anybody wants to send the commissioners an email tonight and just say, hey, you're looking at this tomorrow, I don't think that's bad. But I'm really thrilled that staff is presenting this as part of their programs, and I think we're in a really good place with that. The only other thing I wanted to say is that DEO has been very helpful. Sissy put me in touch with one of her people. There was no state funding. I think state funding, FAMU, others in the future would be great, private sector. But I don't think we'll get another opportunity like this to apply for $10+ million. This makes it work. So that's kind of a lead into what Ron's going to say next about the impact. But I just wanted to take a moment and say what we've done in 7 weeks to even get $6.8 million almost committed. I don't know if that's happened before. So just because of our board and staff's hard work in the last few years, and this is fantastic.
Kristen, how comfortable are you that the 60-40 split will become a reality?
Let me answer that in two ways. I feel very confident that we can and should apply for the special needs category and focus on talent retention. There's a couple other data points that we could include, and I think Michael and Ron have checked those boxes. But the talent retention piece, I talked to Greg today from the EDA last Friday. Richard from Appalachia Regional Planning Council talked to him on Monday. He worked closely with Greg today, and I feel confident that the data we have, again, KCCI was a great suggestion, and we need to collect a little bit more in the next week. But I think we're making the right ask. Once we put in the application, I mean, this is getting us to this point, and I think this is a win no matter what, because we have a great proposal, and we have the partners at the table. I heard from the director of the Southeast Regional Office out of Atlanta, Phil Paradise. I got to meet him at a conference a few weeks ago. The disaster supplement money, they've already received probably twice as many applications, you know, the total dollar amount than what was allocated in the disaster supplement. And majority of that is from Florida. But I think we have two things going for us. One, Phil Paradise and Greg Vidae were very aware of our region, of this project. I had never met Phil before, and he was read into this project. And I think they see this as a need in Florida and in our region. And secondly, Paradise said that they were going to be looking for other funding to allow them to award money for grants even above the 120 or whatever million dollars it was in the disaster supplement. So yes, on the 60-40, but there's going to be a question afterwards. You know, obviously it's a grant application, but I think we're in the best position we could be in for that. Does that help?
It does, Kristen. And one more time, your networking skills, your names, the people you know, the telephone numbers, all those different things you have in your bind, they've been invaluable in this process. And I cannot thank you enough for stepping out there and taking a grasp of some of these issues and reaching out and making some good things happen. Now, on the other hand, let me also say to Michael and to Ron, you all worked extraordinary long hours. You've done a Herculean job this thing. How many pages has it ended up going to be?
Which?
Our proposal?
Oh, I think it's 300. Something.
Over 300 pages of documentation going with this request.
We didn't all do it this time, so it would take 3 years.
My weight alone.
3 years to get there, but yeah.
But I want to acknowledge the work that you guys have done and to personally say thank you. And please make sure that Michael hears that. Michael's on vacation this week, so
yeah.
We allow him to have at least a little time more cool.
Colorado, up in the mountains.
So, all right, anything more, Kristen? Ron, wrap up. What do you have?
Well,
I'd like to just add one thing. I think that I love this. I think this is wonderful, and I think it's a great opportunity to let the other board members know. We all found out about this change this morning, which is, of course, these things are moving very rapidly. Mm-hmm. But to, you know, for other board members, especially, for example, Dustin, who, you know, is right in the center of all this, we should make sure as a courtesy that they're aware. Yeah. And I also think this is the kind of thing that, as board members, it's our role to advocate on behalf of the authority. And so where we can help, you know, it may not be necessary, but I think it it rallies everyone to the cause.
Absolutely.
and is an important thing for the board to be doing.
We had one commissioner who said he was going to be out of town on another business-related issue relative to some of the things he's doing. And he said, I will make a point to call in and make sure I'm in on that vote for you.
That's great.
So,
yeah.
And Denise made this little thing for me. This basically says that we've got incubators and wet labs in the south, in the central, in the north, but we don't have a single one in the northwest part of Florida.
There's a couple of incubators west.
A couple little tiny ones here and there, but that's two different ones. But at any rate, thank you for that, Denise. That was a good way for us to break the ice on the beginning of the discussion with each commissioner.
Dave, I'm sorry. I've been using that as a talking point. Denise, if you have a document, I would love to see that as well.
Sure.
And April, I think you brought up an excellent point. Ron, you may have been planning to do this already, but emailing the full board after exec today or in the morning and letting everyone know what's happened, I'm going to guess Dustin, Eric, a few people are already read into this because they're part of the, you know, they might be part of the briefings, the blueprint, Dustin maybe, things like that. But having us all on the same page, being able to advocate for this project both before tomorrow and know where it is, but if the media asked, if other partners asked, if Shante is in D.C. with President Robinson and meeting with EDA, we want everyone on the same page.
Yeah, I can do that.
Mentioned before is our legislative priorities for the county come up in a few weeks in October. And one question I'm going to have of Greg Vidae, Ron, after we submit the application, if we can do that, is how do we balance that advocacy between the regional office and D.C. office? I want to put this on the legislative priorities for the county for our D.C. office if possible. So there will be next steps, and I think making sure everyone's got the talking points is really important.
Okay. I will do that. Actually, it's part of the bylaws that when we have a major action from the executive committee that the board gets notified of those things, so we will definitely do that, but certainly encouraging them to reach out to their commissioners, and we'll try to come up with a list for them real quick to get to them on, to make it easy for them to email them.
What kind of vote do we need on this?
I think we need some more discussion here. I'd like to go ahead and show them what we came up with as far as the basic site design. We worked with DesignWorks, which is part of the planning department that most of us didn't even know existed. And they offer us a free service where they will actually do design site layout and some cost estimating, some basic design work.
Where is it?
For anyone, at the planning department.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you go to that thing in Chattanooga where we saw how they did it in Chattanooga?
Yeah, they had the, whatever they called it. For the downtown development.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And we got that put together.
True. Yeah.
I had not
most
seen.
People don't know it.
I can't believe I haven't heard about it.
So we, and this was...
They got full-time staff doing that?
They have some staff, yeah. I don't know if
they're... What is it called?
It's a design
to promote it to smaller businesses, only large ones that have been using it thus far. But Ron had got, was, I think, one of the few private or public sector folks to use it outside of city and county proper. So it is a really good resource.
I don't
know
anything about it.
So, anyway, and I'm going to go through these slides, Dave.
Yep.
So this is the basic site layout, or site, you know, that's Innovation Park. We had to make a quick decision on where to put this thing.
Yeah.
We may have some flexibility if the initial site doesn't work out. There are some issues with the site. But we chose this site right across the street from us. So we're right here. This is our building right there. And it's this site right here on this corner of Paul Durock and Van Ness Court. So you've got the floodplain here. So we'll be building along the edge of that. There'll be a retaining wall. It's very sloped. So we'll have to do some cut and fill and do some work with the site. And as a result, so there's the site. There's kind of the 3D view, which you all know that. So we're basically right here. There's the picture. So
that's basically what you see when you turn in here.
It's right over here. Yeah,
Pearl Street,
right over there.
Between here and the old Elbit building.
But if you see this hilly area right here, this is a particularly interesting area that we were going to have to deal with. So you all seen this box hanging out here on a wall? Have you ever read all that stuff about those artifacts?
Yep.
Guess where those came from? They came from when they put in Van Ness Court, that road over there. Mm-hmm. So I learned a little bit while we were working on the trail. Where did my slide go? There it is. I'm going to come back to this other stuff. But
yeah, it's a flashback on the screen up there when you did that.
Yeah, so, sorry. But
in looking at the trail, I found out there's this thing called a cultural resource map that tells you where all of the cultural resources are that they've identified. We don't have any in Indiana, so the corn.
Oh.
So.
Well, this is a very likely spot. So
yes,
I'm
it is. Right.
Yeah, so
right.
You can see all those little things that say LE in front of mm-hmm. numbers and circles around them.
Yeah.
Those are things they've identified. And there's an office at the Department of State called the State
uh-huh.
Historic Preservation Office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they do these reviews. And as a matter of fact, this review is required by the EDA grant. Apparently all federal construction projects have to go through this clearinghouse and,
sure.
and get that reviewed. So we have identified that, in fact, our site is right here, which is part of this LE0667, which is where they found what they call the Spanish Ho site. They found the Spanish Ho.
Okay.
So.
No comment there.
That's right. It's come up a few times before. Nobody can't say that without laughing. All right. So there could be some issues there. I've got into the weeds a little bit on it. There's the biggest area of concern is in this corner up here. That's why I wanted to come back to this. That there is, they call that the low rise. That's this hill right here. There may be something of significance under there, like a house, a part of a house. So that may require some excavation and preservation to deal with that. But when you look at the site plan and what we have in mind, this we're talking about this area right here. There might be some things we can do to mitigate that particular
oh, yeah.
area.
Not disturb
so,
it.
So basically that what they call the SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, they will come back. We've submitted this information to them. Here's our plan. Here's what we want to do. They will give us comments on what they think and what we have to do to mitigate. For example, when they did the Van Ness Court site, they had folks from FSU walking behind the excavator or grader or whatever as they were peeling off the top layers and looking for artifacts, and that's where they came up with some of those artifacts.
Right.
So
they did it extensively at Swift Creek Middle. That whole area was covered in artifacts. They went in, they determined whether there was, you know, how much was significant, and it's a huge middle school complex.
Well, the good news is this isn't the first go-around for this site. There's some history with
right.
it, and so hopefully we'll be able to move quickly when the time comes. So anyway, so this is the basic layout of the site, the 40,000 square foot building. They've got it kind of interestingly wrapped around rather than just having your typical square rectangle building, whatever.
Let me ask a quick question about that little mountain. We don't know enough about that. When the road was built, was that sort of pushed over there and become fill, or do we think that was naturally?
I think they had to stay away from that when they were doing the road. I mean, they've identified that as, they said in the northeast corner of that area.
Okay.
Which is what that is.
We think that was there before they put the road in.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This was not them piling stuff up over there.
All right.
So again, this is just the basic layout that they came up with. We're not married to this. But it actually is kind of interesting the way they have this design. We took that information and tried to lay out a basic floor plan. This is really, we should call space to be planned, but we think this area can contain the dry lab, engineering, light manufacturing, the kind of the noisy stuff.
How big is that?
What?
That dry lab engineering.
It's about 12,000 square feet.
And is it surrounded by a wall and a hallway?
Well, that's part of what we're going to talk about with architects. And that's why I don't want to get too far in the weeds on the design, because those are things we'll have to talk to architects about. How can we divide the space up and mitigate noise and fumes and, you know, all that stuff?
You so, get a forklift in there if we have
yeah,
to.
Yeah, because we've got, I mean, they put the truck bay down here. I think it might make more sense for the truck bay to be over here, those sort of things. So.
And this is all highly hypothetical.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Completely hypothetical.
We just wanted to show them something.
Sure.
That
got it.
If you take the space and you break it up, and this was the other thing we wanted to do, is we wanted to be able to come up with some basic square footages to say, here's how much space we would allocate to each of these things. And we took those numbers, applied lease rates to them, and said, here's how much revenue we think we can generate from these spaces.
Yeah.
And we even applied a load factor to take, because we're so heavy on these common area amenities,
yeah.
We had to put a load factor in to make it work. So,
Ron,
yes.
I can just say that you may have said this before, but the EDA wants to see that the site is feasible, you know, some basic numbers, construction, things like that. That design work was able to get us enough to meet those requirements and something to work with in the future. Is that right, Ron?
Yes.
But, yeah. So from lease rates to construction dollars, it's...
Yeah, they did not give us lease rates. They didn't give us lease rates. They did give us construction dollars.
Well, right, but you were able to extrapolate lease rates.
Yes.
And have that match what the layout is right now.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
So that's what EDA wants to see, that it's feasible. But if it's modified in the future, I think they know. I mean, there's no construction documents yet.
Yes.
But we have to prove that it's feasible and that we have all the various components from money to land lined up for applying.
Okay, you've seen now what we have shown to the commissioners. Do you want to wrap up with any of this?
Yeah, and then there's a couple other things. This is the estimated project schedule. We're looking at 24 months plus a little 6 months just in case. So if we were to get the award and get going January 1, that's kind of what we're looking at right there.
Okay, so is that kind of I've got a couple of questions that don't have anything to do with.
I mean, we even looked at things like permitting. Here's the space plan that we talked about. Trying to get to actual revenue numbers. We did a cash flow just to show some rough guesstimates based on occupancy levels that we think this thing can cash flow in the future. And that's pretty much where I left it.
So we need to talk about the 1.8.
Yes.
And so we're getting this thing in, the application in on time, hopefully with the stamp of approval from OEV with a one, you know, their contribution.
2.5, yeah.
Yeah, the 2.5. Do they have, does EDA have a timeline on when they either grant or deny?
My understanding is like 6 to 8 weeks.
So, and it's really like, so it would be this year?
Yes.
Okay. If we don't get it, what happens? Do we get put in a, you know, in a bin for the next time around, or is this really the last opportunity for this particular thing that we've been talking about?
I believe if they evaluate it and we don't get it, then we don't get it. We'd have to reapply for whatever the next funding opportunity is.
And the next funding opportunity would look slightly different.
It would look a lot.
Recovery fund thing.
Unless there's a disaster relief supplement like this one, we're talking about the typical $3 million. Maximum, and then we have to figure out where to get the rest of the money.
Well, this is good because this is what worries me. This is at least a fail fast scenario.
Yes.
So that's good. So if we're committing our 1.8 million that's hanging around over here, we will at least know pretty soon if that's where it has to be committed to. And if it doesn't work, then it's, you know, we've got our reserves back. Yes.
We all know, and then we're back to the Collins building.
Well, then there's another decision point there.
Right.
Yes.
The 1.8 that we had set aside for the Collins building that we're now proposing to reallocate comes back into the budget, and then we move on to that project again.
Let me give you another consideration here as well. So Dave mentioned earlier the possibility of Danfoss. You know, Danfoss is doing their expansion. Mm-hmm. They asked a couple of months ago, they said, do you have any space that we can use temporarily
mm-hmm.
while we do the expansion? We need to move some folks. And the initial answer was no, because we were dead set on doing the Collins building renovation. Well, if we're not doing the renovation, I got all that space over there with offices in it. It's not in great shape. We have to do a little work, probably clean it up, but and repair some HVAC and a couple of other things. But it might be able to accommodate them. When this possibility of shifting to 1.8 came up, I reached out to Danfoss and I asked them if they're still interested. And the answer I got was, we are meeting with our construction manager this week. I'll get back and let you know.
Okay.
So,
but that's good. It's all kind of...
What I read into that answer was, we haven't committed to leasing space anywhere yet. Because I asked them, how much would you need and when would you need it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, since he didn't say we've already done that, that tells me that, in fact, they are still considering it. So, so to me, that's still on the table, and obviously, they would, I'm sure they would prefer to be in the park as opposed to have to go outside of the park to lease that space.
Well, and after we have our big day tomorrow, you can reach out to them again and say, look, this is exactly where we are, this is the time frame, you know.
And so, it's, you know, again, it would be another IT services kind of situation where you've got a short term. But I'll tell you, I'll keep taking these short terms all day long as long as somebody's leasing the space.
Right. Keep rolling in.
And paying for it. So again, that's kind of a mitigating possibility to this whole thing. And then the other thing I was thinking about is, you know, one of the things we're trying to accomplish is get Collins Building renovated so that we can move our offices over there and our tenants over there so that we can then start on the process of what we're going to do with this building in terms of creating a food option. So I still think if we could do some minimal renovations to the western end of the Collins Building and make it suitable for our needs, it would require a little bit of money to go into it. If we can lease it, if we can make a couple $100,000 on a Danfoss lease, we could use that money to just do some minimal renovations to the other end. It wouldn't include, you know, doing the sprinkler system and all the, you know, all the other stuff that we had on the list for the $1.8 million, but it would be a decent space. We could put the meeting space in, so we could put EEP in there, and we can have enough tenant space beyond what we have here, so we can put some startup companies in there and still move forward. I wouldn't mess with the lab. I might clean it up, and if somebody wants to use it as is, we do that. But
well, keep in mind too that once this, if we get the money, the 1.8 from OEB, and we start building this building, there's nothing to keep us happy after 2020 and going back for more funds from the sales tax money for economic development to deal space out for research coming off campus.
Yeah, it's the only thing I will tell you is that 12% is going to get chewed up pretty fast. And Chris, and you can chime in if you want, but that's part of what they're talking about tomorrow is how that 12% is going to get spent. And by the time you look at the added administrative costs that they've got with OEV, the nature of the types of incentive funding that used to be paid for by the city and the county that I understand that is now going to be shifted to that 12%. There's a lot of things that are going to eat into that 12% so quick. And then you throw in the competition from all the other groups that are trying to get it. It's going to be tough to get.
Well, this
will be a... I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's my perspective, Kristen.
No, I was going to say you summed that up perfectly. I hope we will have more discussion about other commitments with the 12% of funding. Obviously, this project is important to our board, but all of the economic development activity is important to us as well. We're going to have a big conversation and decisions about it tomorrow. I don't know if that's the end of the story. We'll have new voices at the table in a few months. But Ron is also right, I think we are extraordinarily lucky to have had this disaster supplement and the timing come in at the same time as we're looking at the implementation workshop for OED, because it meant we were ready for this application before other groups, and there are two others that are thinking of UDA grants and OEB asks, but they simply weren't ready right now. So we may not be able to go back there. On the other hand, I think we got to look really critically at what happens to the legislature, the governor's office, DEO, post-election. I think there could be other funding, other program funding that is available. And the last thing I was going to say is the EDA does have program funding grants, and that could be something that we want to look at in the future. But OEV, I'm not sure we're going to, I think this is our one big ask for now.
I don't know about that.
Well, Kim, let me say this. You know, we've had enough conversations. I'm leaning towards what you just said, and the sentiment I think is behind your task. I want more money for programs and projects outside of OEB in the future. This needs to be something that is on our radar in general going forward. But if at least we have this afghan, that was kind of my point. And there are other things, state funding, that we should look at in the future.
And that's the big thing, is we got to broaden the net. I mean, it's.
Who identified this grant opportunity for us? How did we talk about it? Did Michael do that?
Yeah, it's basically...
We talked about it in Gainesville.
The relationship we've had with EDA, and this opportunity just came out. It was a total funding opportunity. Yeah. Actually, yeah, I take that back. It wasn't...
The Baptist Supplement was something new this year. The EDA grant has been around for a long time.
Yeah.
They morph every couple of cycles of
things. But Greg Vidae told me about it. They called us.
Yeah.
Okay.
And told us about it. So...
So, I'm sorry, may I?
Yes, ma'am.
So, if we prevail, we will, well, first tomorrow, and then in 6 weeks, we know yes or no on this thing.
6 to 8 weeks.
And then at that point, we either know what we're doing with our 1.8, it's going to sit over there in limbo land. Right?
Waiting to be dispersed in the next 2 years.
Waiting to be dispersed in the next 2 years. We don't have to do anything different with it because it's committed or anything like that.
To my knowledge, no.
Yeah.
It just has to be available when needed once construction begins.
And then if we don't prevail, then the 2.5, hopefully, that we have had committed to us by OEB is... Does that itself present some additional opportunities?
Well, and that's
getting ahead of ourselves.
You're absolutely right, and I have raised this issue with every commissioner, and to OEB, and I asked. I said, "Is there any way that we can untie this from this particular EDA grant ask? To say that if for any reason we don't get this EDA grant, can you give us some period of time to use it?" For a $17 million incubator. And I think, Kristen, correct me if I'm wrong, when I read the agenda item, it didn't strike me as being tied specifically to this EDA grant. It did have restrictions in it similar to what FSU Research Foundation had in their pledge, which was you build a 40,000 square foot building at this approximate cost per square foot. If you do that, you're good.
I agree, and just to add to that, I will say it was in the item, staff will come back to the OED board, blueprint board in February, I think is what it was, to look at kind of the implementation, you know, the results of our application, if we got it, if we didn't. So,
yeah.
If we did not get the grant, I think we would still come back, staff would still bring it back to the IA board in February. And again, we will have 3 to 4 new members at that point. That would be another round of education. But I do believe Ron's right that we've got this in the right posture where we'll kind of have a placeholder here and give us some time to look at other opportunities. The real selling point of this is we've got a $4 to $7 million windfall here with the disaster supplement that likely won't be back in the future.
Right.
So we will have to reassess a lot of different options. But having this placeholder is exceptional, again, because there will be other requests made of OEB in the next few months, next few years.
Yep. Sounds great.
And there are a few little tweaks that still would have to be worked out with FSU. They require that all dollars be dispersed uniformly.
Yeah.
I think we would have a reasonably good shot at saying these are committed and they're down the road for this time frame, but we need to be moving forward with this money now. I would hope they'd be receptive to that. I think they would be, but that's one more hurdle. Not a big one still, but one. Still out there.
If I can throw one more little complicated factor in here. This is not easy, I'm telling you. There's a lot to consider.
There's nothing easy about it.
So, going back to the Danfoss situation, we've got this 6 to 8 week window from September 30th where we're going to be sitting waiting to find out what's going to happen with that $1.8 million.
Danfoss is not going to wait.
No, they're not.
Not likely going to wait, I should say, because their costs continue to rise the more they wait to get the construction started. So I know they're chomping at the bit to get that going. So do we commit, you know, once, assuming y'all agree to move the 1.8 towards this project, do we go ahead and commit to leasing that space for a year and delay the potential renovation by a year?
I don't think you're losing a year. I think you got a few hoops to jump through and some designs to create.
No, I'm saying that because if we commit to leasing the space to Danfoss, we can't do the renovation.
Right.
Well, you can't do it during that year.
That's what I'm saying. So
there's a lot of paperwork that needs to be done. There's permits to get. There's all the other stuff that goes on.
I understand.
So you're probably losing 6 months, not a year.
Yeah, that's right, you're saying you can start the architectural engineering stuff ahead of time. Yeah. Okay.
Right. That's a trade-off I'm willing to accept.
It sounds right to me.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's the money for 12 months from now?
Well, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
I completely agree, but Ron, I will say, I just got a big grin a little while ago. I was writing a note about the night building in our offices when you said you thought we should go ahead with that piece of it. So I think that's what really makes me even more comfortable about waiting another year, letting Danfoss take it if they can. If we can move our offices over and start reprogramming the night building, that's value added for any future tenants, Danfoss, the incubator, to anyone else, if we were able to do something with night. And we might be able to move more quickly on that. There might be a little silver lining. And I don't even want to utter that because we're going to get the EDA grant.
But
we'll be able to work on our offices in the night building, which helps our larger goals anyhow.
And I did present to Danfoss the floor plan showing the space that we had proposed to take over for our use versus what would be available for their use, so we could actually both occupy the space at the same time. With the caveat that if they absolutely had to have all the space to make it work, we'd work with them on that as well. So we'll see. We still have to do some talking about that. But there are options there, and I guess that's the point I was trying to make, is it's there, it's complicated, but I think it's worth doing myself.
We're going to follow the dollar.
Yep.
Yeah, the only other thing that occurs to me is that if we get past this one hump tomorrow, that aren't there a couple of people who have been elected outright that think we need to cultivate them pretty quickly already? Who is it?
The only
one, Chris Miner.
Chris Miner.
Kristen.
Are you talking about the newbies?
The newbies. I'm just talking about the newbies.
That's, I think Rick Miner's the only one.
Yeah.
So he's the only one.
Yeah.
And I've actually already.
And John Bailey.
Did you see Rick Miner's article?
That's when I reached out to him. I emailed him and said, great article, we need to talk to you about this when the dust settles. So he's primed.
I think he's absolutely ready.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. One, I think it's a really excellent point, and Rick Miner, Kim will remember this well. Rick Miner's got the golden 2.5 months that very few of us get when we're elected in the primary. He gets everything for 2.5 months versus 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
Yes,
and he's doing a lot of that. So
yep.
I think sending the invitation, bringing him out to the park, or at least getting that on the calendar would be great.
Well, unless you and I plan on seeing him get on his calendar. One more encouraging thing I heard in our discussion with John Bailey is he really wants to push hard if he becomes the mayor on economic development and expansion. He could not talk enough about what are the opportunities. Maybe there's a need somewhere for an industrial park. Maybe this. He just kept going with ideas that was bouncing off of his mind about where he wants to take it if he becomes mayor. So I thought that was very encouraging. Certainly he's going to be a proponent for this. So I think we teed up nicely. I compliment Ron and staff and Peggy and Denise, whoever helped put all this together. Maybe it's all Ron, maybe it's all Michael, whoever.
I think it was a great team effort.
It was a team effort,
and
what y'all had to do to meet with those people, that is not easy.
Yeah,
thank you for doing that. And It always feels like it was funny. Big old waste of time.
It was funny. We went through 10 of those presentations, got to the 11th one, and it was fine. Finally, Brian DeLoe, she pointed out that we misspelled Duroc on one of the pictures.
Okay,
I just thought that was funny.
Watching.
Yes. We didn't do it. DesignWorks did it, but nobody else called.
And I have to say, just to echo what Kristen has said, to know that that's what Daly said in your meetings with him, and contrast that with the first time we met with him, where and they were like, well, what are you talking about? They were almost like, "What? We don't have anything to do with you. You know, you just go out there and do." The movement on that has just been incredible.
Well, the feel was sort of, if I could summarize, it's sort of, well, why wouldn't we want to do this?
Yeah.
I mean, that was sort of how I would put it in summary, the overall feel that we got.
And going back to what Kristen said, all the work that's been done between when we were out there and now has prepped them. I mean, their own study says you need this. So that was not a hard sell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing. We better stop talking about it. I feel like bad mojo with this family.
April, you have been really pushing to think about marketing, how we connect with people. We've all been talking about that, but for strategic planning. And Ron, I haven't even mentioned it to you in our conversations, but I have reflected back on the editorial review board meeting we did a while back, and you were on those briefings. And there was a time when I thought, God, we just didn't get any traction, or too early, what did we need to do? The response
building
that I've heard, when I've talked to Steve Evans or other people in the community about this project, I actually think it was good that we went out there a few times when they didn't quite know what the story was, because now when they hear this, I think there's a foundation laid. That, this is what you've been telling us you've been working on for years. Here's the tangible, and they can see that it took years to get here. But I think we need to harness what we've learned in this and talk about it in our strategic planning, because I just want to put it on the table now. I am doing reflecting on that, and I think in any conversations we have, I think this might be a good example of what works and what doesn't in the future.
One of the points I made to a couple of the commissioners was back when this park was envisioned, it sort of leaped out of the ground, a lot of new buildings. And then we sort of went to sleep. We kind of became just a landlord. We were leasing property and not much new happening. And now we're ready for that phase two to kick it in. We have the program, we have the project, we are ready to run with it. We know where the finance, we got the land, we got the staff. We're ready to go into the next phase of who Innovation Park is. And that seemed to be a nice presentation piece to put in there. So, all right, we have in front of us a proposal that says we would use $1.8 million of our own funds to supplement or to support this grant match. We need to, at this point in time, decide if we're comfortable with that. And if there is a motion on the floor, the chair would be glad to accept it.
Okay.
Is there a second?
I'll second it, but I would like to, I think we should note that we are making a choice to delay Collins as part of that motion.
Okay, that the money that would have been allocated for the improvements in Collins would now be directed toward the structure that we would call the incubator lab.
And are we doing this, or are we recommending this?
You are taking this action on behalf of the board, because it has to be done before October 4th, the next board meeting.
Okay.
That will be presented to the board
for ratification.
But at that point, we will have already submitted the application and committed to doing it.
And then my motion to the money's been flipped to the other front.
Yeah. Okay. You heard the motion. You heard the discussion. I guess you heard the discussion then the motion. Those in favor of approving the action, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Hearing no opposition, the motion is approved.
Kristen, you voted aye?
Of course I did.
Just want to make sure we got you on the record.
What a great day this is.
Right now, I am doing
is
a happy dance tomorrow night. I mean, we are just one more step closer. This is remarkable.
Yep.
This will be a milestone in our organization.
Yeah,
action. You just have to compliment for it, a thank you for it, thank all who have been involved in it. We now have design criteria of professional services for the Collins Building, which we were going to act on, which we just sort of decided that now there's no more money for it. So at this point in time, we can table that action until we know a little bit more.
If I could just give you a little update, though, I will let you know that the evaluation committee did meet last week. We did get presentations for this RFQ. Pat Hoy's firm was selected to do this design criteria professional services. I did, at the time, because this recommendation came to me on moving the $1.8 million from Eric Holmes. He recommended it last week, and my initial reaction was, hell no.
Interesting.
And I'm sorry, I failed to mention that earlier, but if you had voted no,
I'm told you. He's been to a few of these radios, I'm sure.
Yeah, yes. So when he raised that issue, my initial reaction was, you know, just defensive of the fact that we've been trying to get Collins done for 2 years. And then thought about it for a night, and I went back to him, and I said, that's probably a pretty good idea. We'll get the executive committee to talk about it. But that was before the 60-40 match, which made the 1.8 mean something. So, long story short, after that evaluation committee meeting, I told Pat Hoy there was a possibility that this might not happen, and that to be prepared so that he's not shocked that after he got this award of the contract that we're going to cancel it. So, just so you know, we've had that conversation. I will let him know that it's on hold. And that if it doesn't move forward, then we're ready to go back to it. Then we will get back with him, and he still has the recommendation for the award of the agreement. We can bring that back to executive committee for consideration at that time.
There's a motion on the floor to put on the table to table the motion. Excuse me, Kristen, I didn't hear it.
I had a quick question. I'm sorry. Do we know how long the RFQ process, the evaluation committee recommendation, is good for? Is there any time limit on that?
That's a good point. At that point, I think the only limitation would be on his price. His compensation proposal does have there's a stipulation there on how long that's good for. It would be a matter of whether he wanted to stick with that or not. And since, because this was a qualifications-based process, it wasn't, you know, comparing pricing, which is a really weird thing to do. based on the way he derived the pricing, based on the state formula, the state curve, I don't know that he would necessarily be changing his pricing unless the state curve changes. But I mean, I will have that conversation with him. Just let him know that's where we're at, and we'll revisit it based on the facts we learn in the future.
Chair, be glad to receive a motion to table item number 9, which was the design criteria for the Collins Building.
So move.
Motions. Second, anyone?
Second.
Second, any further discussion? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed by like sign, motion carries. All right, at this point, we move to item number 10, that is a review of the executive director's annual performance. Ron, do you want to make any comment with regard to that?
Let's see. I think, you know, I
can't read it. Was that a 3 or 4 you?
Which one?
Well, you have in your packet the criteria that was sent out to everyone and then how they ended up responding. I think it's been a very good process that we go through. I think the criteria points, all of them, are very well stated. I didn't think of anything I would have added to the criteria for evaluation. It's similar to one I think the county uses.
I think it was based on the county administrators.
Yeah. You can see the results there. They come in very high, very favorable. You can see who was high and who was low in their evaluations. And you can then look at your own score compared to others. And
I will make a comment if you like. First of all, I'm thrilled with it as usual. I'm
you know, I never thought I'd be a five in a perfect game. It's kind of hard to get to. I also recognize...
that's until the first football game.
I also recognize that different people have a different point system in their head.
Yep.
And we've seen that with all the evaluation committee stuff that we do, just evaluating proposals. I mean, it's the same situation. So I take it all with a grain of salt, and frankly, I put more weight on the comments, I think, than I do the numbers necessarily. But I have, just so you know, I have reached out to a couple of board members to have meetings with, just to be sure that I understand and reconcile the point system with how they actually feel. So I will.
I think that's an
them.
Excellent idea.
And so if any of you are in a position where you would like to have a sit down and talk more specifically about your evaluation, I'd be very happy to do that. But I don't know that it's necessary unless you want it. I did have one question that I think is something that, and I think maybe it was April, and I actually saw it a couple mm-hmm. of places, but the ranking about the scoring on the situation about what we put on the agenda, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because this might be something I can actually, you know, mechanically adjust. it's this one right here. Prepares a sound agenda which prevents trivial administrative matters from being reviewed by the board. And I try to avoid that at all costs. So if you have specific examples of what you're talking about, because I put things on there that I'm required to do, or I have to do because of timing. Sometimes things could have gone on consent or whatever, but because of timing, it couldn't go through the executive committee. And if you're on the executive committee, you get the trivial stuff, because that's what policy dictates, is that you guys, trivial in that it's policy. If there's something you're getting that you don't think you should get and you want to change policy, we can talk about that too. But I just need to know specifically when you see those things, what do you want to get off the agenda? Is that fair enough?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's also hard for us who, many of us are here once every 2 months.
Yeah.
More of us are here, or some of us are here once every 12 months. No, once a month. Excuse me. Once a month.
That's my regular.
And we can sometimes, members of the executive committee, see and understand and appreciate some of the things that have to be done and are getting done more than some of the others who don't have the same amount of exposure. So I also tried to look at that. One point I noticed is that it's slightly improved from where it was a year ago. And I would say if all of this that we're talking about today had happened 90 days ago, we probably would even be looking at a different evaluation today, because there's a lot of hard work going in this last 90 days. And
the good news is, when the bad stuff happens in another 90 days, we already have the evaluation and we go to the next one.
So,
take the good with the bad.
All right. You have the opportunity to comment on this if you care to. Anyone who likes to have the floor is now open for discussion.
And is this the process we sit with staff in the room and discuss the evaluation?
Well, you know, I always, in business sessions, public sessions, excuse me, private sector, I've always had a closed door meeting.
Right.
But fortunately, we are in a position now where we are in an open meeting. And so anyone who wants to sit in here can listen, excuse themselves can do that as well.
And let me tell you, I've done this for many, many years. You should have been here when I went through the interview process. I can take it.
Yeah, no, it's not that. It's just an awkward
I know it is.
Situation.
It's kind of fun awkward at times.
Oh,
and she said, that's it, I'm hanging out.
She didn't want to be in that awkward meeting.
You want me to read out here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Dave, I don't remember procedurally how we've done this before in terms of just moving along here. So.
Well, we've typically looked at the history of reviews, evaluations. We've typically asked, Kristen, you there?
Okay.
Kristen, do you know typically what the county and or maybe the city, if you know that one too, what they're looking at as typical increases this year percentage-wise?
We have a range, 1 to 5%. Typical is 3% cost of living increase. You could go below that for some reasons, but 3% is average for cost for COLA, and bonuses up to 5.
Okay, and 5 would be a rare exception, and 1 would be a rare exception. Probably a bell-shaped curve with 3 being around the top of the bell?
Yes, 2 things. I think the county HR director could provide some real details and content on that if we want a justification. I don't see all of the 2,000 employees we've got and what their rankings are, right? But the way it has been framed to us generally is that 3% is typical, yeah. Does that
help? I'm not advocating a 3% right now. I'm just stating that if 3% were the number, it would be a $4,200 increase.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't read into me saying I think 3% is the right now. I'm just throwing that number up there so you'll know how it looks.
One thing that stuck out to me is the cost for providing life insurance short term, that's pennies. I mean, it's really nothing for on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, to provide that for employees. I think we provide up to, you know, we match the salary up to $200,000. And I don't think we pay $30 a month for an employee. And that's AD&D, life insurance, and long-term disability. You know, to me, that's something we ought to perhaps look into.
How many employees you got?
15.
Yeah.
And I can explore with the county if there's something we could piggyback on there. We piggyback on their medical insurance. I don't know why that was never set up.
Yeah, it's real cheap.
And it wasn't an issue before when it was me and one other staff person.
Right. But, you know, it's nice to have it.
Absolutely.
You know, the life insurance, and it's, you know, goes into, well, these aren't typical benefits these are typical benefits that the staff is not getting.
Even the Section 125 plan is beneficial.
Right.
And that costs us nothing.
Right. It actually saves you money. It saves money on the FICA. So...
Yeah.
I really like that idea. I think digging into county benefits, I don't know, I mean, if it's the HR director, Candace Ron, I know that she'd be willing to talk with you and work through that, or there may be someone else. But I think assessing what our options are to increase the benefits, particularly if staff increases, would be a great idea.
Do you know, at the executive level, and I'm sure he's had a whole lot more years. Let's talk about maybe the city. Do you have any idea how many days of paid vacation they are awarded at the top level?
It increases certainly with your position and the length of time you're there. So, actually, let me take a step back, because this is one area where, for the county commission, like our board, we only hire 1 or 2 people, right? So when the call dropped, I was actually writing a text to Ron about this, but with expanding staff, I think it is time to look at more than just our executive director salary. You know, if there are any other benefits, if we have a policy to implement for vacation time, and certainly, Ron, you forgive my fatigue here, but you may already have that. But if you don't, vacation time, 3% COLA, what the range is, I mean, it might be time to revisit those policies or beef them up a little bit. And I think the county could provide all of that data, from vacation to life insurance, everything. So I don't have a direct answer, but I think it's a good question.
It might be good to pull all that information in and review some of that at executive committee meeting in the future, but go ahead and look currently at what we might think in terms of adjusting salary, and then weigh some of these other things at a future meeting when we have more information.
Okay.
Would that sound responsible?
I'm
always in favor of someone in Ron's position, as hard as he works and all, acknowledging that that position might be in need of a little more downtime than most. I've just seen in the top position of both organizations, they get a little bit more downtime.
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's more work.
Because
nobody does your job while you're gone.
That is exactly my concern. I know exactly what you're saying, but we've got so much going on, I'd be afraid for you to be gone much more than that. I really would.
And I appreciate that. I just, right now, it's not a priority for me.
You just talked yourself out of that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, but...
money.
Does anyone want to advocate for any particular number or percent up there right now?
I think we're all hoping you would throw something out as the start.
I did last year when you were chair.
I know.
The one you said there last year was mine, so.
Yeah.
And I would throw out 3%. It seems like it's right out of median range.
Okay. Well, and I would, I think we've been pretty clearly back and forth, up and down. I would say 3.4 would be appropriate for this year. That's the average. I think that we have to always be aware that if we get the salary too high, we're going to run into trouble. So we can't make huge increases. But
3.4 140 is a lot more than 3.4 125. So if you start
I know. Well, and I mean, if somebody wants to make a proposal expressed in terms of dollar amounts, maybe that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, Kim, I'm not just saying that. Maybe that makes more sense. Just
right,
express
just
it
say.
What you want the salary to be.
I have approved it. I have a letter. I'm ready to send it.
It's 140 now. Probably.
Yeah.
On 10-1-17, we took him to 140?
Yeah. Yep.
You'll have it.
If we did 3%, that'd be a $4,200 increase.
All right, thank you.
But I think we do have to realize that at some point the position, what is the upper ceiling to that? Ron does a fantastic job for us, and I.
He does.
And you could look at his reviews. They're better this year than last year, made gains in a lot of areas, and I think that's great. But at some point the position does top out. I don't know what that is, but. Certainly we're growing, he's got more responsibility, more staff, et cetera, but.
I'm sorry, what did you say in terms of percentage equal dollars? You just said something, Dave. Sorry.
I had a whole bunch of
them. He had them all going.
He's
If we did, let's play, if we did 3%, that's an easy number to do. Where'd I lose my calculator? There it is.
That's 4.2.
So if you did the 140 at 3%, it'd be 4.2.
Okay.
I think.
4.2?
Mm-hmm.
Let's double check that.
4,200?
Yeah, that's $4,200. If you went to $4,500, let's just play with that number.
Well, you said at 3.4, you mentioned that, that's $4,760.
Well, if you went to 4.5, that'd be a 3.2% increase if you play with percentages. $4,500 one, is what I'm saying. And again, I wish I knew. Chris, do you have any idea what the what Vince's salary is right now, or what the mayor's salary is?
I think we're safely under that.
Yeah, but I do think that
you were well under that, and future mayor bumped it up pretty substantially made the motion, I should say that, when he was chairman a couple of years ago. So I don't think that, I think other industry directors might be a better comparison.
Do you have any idea what we're paying the airport director?
Well, I was thinking research parks in general and others, but outside of that, I mean, I think those conversations about where we go in the future and making this more maybe policy driven or having a range or something like that. And I think that is important also when it comes to our director salary, because just looking at the percentages, 3.2, 4.7, I'm reminded that we often come back to a dollar amount and not a percentage, which is fine. It just, every year we have the same conversation. And I'll chime in since I'm already speaking here on the line, that I agree with Ann. I think it was you, Ann, who suggested 3.4, 3.5. I do think there's a cap and other discussions to be had, but this year was enormous. We took a huge step forward, and there's more staff to manage and other things like that. So I would feel comfortable with more than 3%.
Well, if you will entertain a motion, Dave, since you did me the favor last year, I would say hit the middle, $5,000 increase for this year.
I was kind of playing with that same number. But,
so 145.
And I do think it would be wise for us to have somebody just take a look at the overall compensation package. You know, salary ranges from X to Y, so that we, you know, just have in our own minds how we see the position evolving, you know, over time.
Who would you? A $5,000 would be a 3.6% increase. I think we said we weren't looking at percentages as much as we were dollars. I'd like to sort of say two things, maybe. I'm comfortable with moving this to a vote. Second thing, though, are we at a point to where a chair should perhaps maybe select one or two or three people to serve on a committee to study this in more depth and bring back whether we adjust some of the softer dollars to, whether we are in line with where we think we ought to be, whatever kind of research we need to do, but just give us a little more in-depth appreciation or understanding of what we're doing. I'd like to have a little more comfort level. Compensation committee's fine. It'd be a one-shot. It wouldn't be a standing committee, a one-time situation. Now, those are just my comments. Anybody else want to comment?
I think looking at getting more bang out of our benefits is a great idea, and I think we're overdue on that. But in terms of where we're going with this, I think we may know so much more in about a year what this is going to look like. I mean, it may look like we'll be jumping up and down, or we may just be slogging along still. And it's gonna make a difference.
Either way, it's another responsibility.
It's gonna make a lot of difference in terms of what Ron's job turns
into. I'd like to ask then staff kind of nudge me somewhere around April or May to establish a compensation committee to be in position to come back 30, 60, 90 days or whatever with recommendations on the table. I remember we had a similar committee some years ago. I remember when we were paying 100% of health insurance for not only employees but for all their spouses and children.
Right.
And that was way out of line. We had to modify that. Some of the staff didn't like it, I guess. I probably would have if I'd been on staff. But it was just out of line. It was just not what was realistic with what was going on, with more and more and more companies having to figure out how in the world to pay for health insurance as fast as it was going up, and how the employee has a little piece of this too. But so we've made some modifications then. I think it's time to give a general look-see again, just to see if we feel comfortable with where we are and if our package is appropriate.
So you want to look at the whole picture for all staff?
I would say that would be part of that committee's challenge to do that.
To look at all of the benefits as well, as we discussed.
To look at benefits.
Just do an assessment of all of our benefits. And nudge me somewhere along April or May or somewhere along there to establish a committee.
Yeah.
Having said that, then I would ask next for a motion to any increase or review or, I guess, adjustment. about the word to the executive director's compensation program.
I think, didn't I make that motion?
Yes.
Yeah. Was it a form of motion or just a discussion?
I think I did, yeah.
There's a form of motion, we have a motion on the table. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Motion is made and seconded that we advance effective October 1, increase the annual revenue or annual salary of our executive director from $140,000 to $145,000. That action, I think, can be taken by the executive committee. I don't think that's due before the board of ratify.
Yeah, all the decisions get ratified by the board.
Just ratified.
They can go on consent.
Right. Okay. So, motion's on the table. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign, motion carries.
Thank you.
That's a nice compliment, I think, of what we think you're doing.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the dollars speak louder than percent. But, okay, that having been
can't
said.
Can't spend percentages.
You're right.
Put it on the credit card.
All right, executive director, chair, let's see, executive director, anything else you want to bring up? Come back to the chair here in a minute. Staff reports or the executive director, I'll pull you up and then, well, let me go through this thing in order here.
Okay.
Programs and communications director.
Sure.
You now have the floor, ma'am.
Okay. Just a few things. I'm also going to be doing some of Michael's stuff as well since he's out of town. We had an SBIR workshop last week that was hosted in part with EDA Family Reach. We had 20 attendees, which was a really good response. Within that, we've also gotten some interest on the Entrepreneurial Excellence Program and some of the other programs that we're going to be having as well. EEP, we are still in our last minute push. We have 9 signups right now. The people who expressed an interest at the SBIR, STTR workshop, Michael has reached out to, and I think he's going to keep working on that once he gets back. So hopefully we will get to 12 companies by that time. If not, we will still be moving forward with the 9 companies. He also has an I-Corps that he is working on, and that is going to be starting on October 24th, and we are in the process of recruiting teams for that. I'm working with the University of Alabama to start moving with that. For park signs in the park, I know that we've redone the monument signs. We are looking at redoing the ones on Levy and Potsdamer. I've sent proofs to Stephanie, and she's getting a quote for me, so hopefully those will be replaced this year. The Entrepreneurs Club, I am planning to have an event later this year, probably between November and December. My next Tech Topics, our last Tech Topics was on August 29th, and that was well attended. Everybody was really happy about that. That took place at the Mag Lab. Our next one will be taking place on Wednesday, November 7th at the College of Engineering. That's going to go in line with Startup Week, but I'm still working on a theme and all of that. I'll be doing that going forward. The Innovation Hunt is supposed to be taking place on September 29th. I've been pushing for promotions and everything. At this time, we only have 2 signups. So if we do not have at least 10 by Monday, we will be canceling that, unfortunately.
What is it you have 2 for?
The Innovation Hunt, it was going to be a photo-based scavenger hunt within the park. So I've been pushing. I don't know if people are just waiting until the last minute or what, but...
Who's the audience for that?
I say young professionals, young families if they want to, and then students. So with that, I've done Instagram ads, I've done Facebook ads to kind of push to that target. I've worked with the College of Engineering to push that out on their channels, and I've worked with the FSU Research, who is willing to push it out, and I've also talked with College Town, who's been pushing it out. So
I only got 2 signups, that's so
yeah.
That may indicate.
Yeah.
So, it's too hot.
It's too hot, and maybe people don't want to run
and
around
it,
the park.
It is football season, too. So
we discounted football season slightly.
Yeah.
Football is
not as exciting as we thought it was going to be.
So, I mean, maybe this is something to look at a different date, maybe when it is cooler out, or maybe do it with something else tied together. But
the goal of it was to have people learn more about the park.
That and increase our followership on social, which it has actually. We've gotten since last Thursday, we've gotten 16 new followers on Instagram and then 6 new followers on Facebook. So, I mean, it is good. It's not great, but it's good. If we can keep pushing forward with that, maybe get the traction.
The big picture is trying to get just more awareness in the community.
Exposure.
Yeah. You know, it's... Mm-hmm.
Right.
Public awareness.
There's a lot less intensive ways to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Work intensive ways, I would say. Given this, you're not getting a response.
Yeah.
So if you've got to push it uphill, you got to really say, let's move on to the next project.
And that's... Right. Yes. It was worth a shot.
Yeah. And it's good to try these things so you know,
yeah.
this is exciting people and this isn't.
The big question has been, do you lose anything by canceling something like this?
Or having an unsuccessful event?
Yeah.
Much better to cancel.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're only disappointing two people.
We
also pray for rain, too, and just blame it on the rain.
I wouldn't like that
one. No, I just cancel it. Stop working on it. Work on something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were going to give it to Monday and make a call on Monday.
Put a coffee cup together with M&Ms on it. Give it to them or something.
Yeah.
It's you know, if we got 10 teams and two to four people per team, you know,
that's
like a lot of our other events, 40 right. people. You know, it's, 30 to 40 people. And it's different. And Denise likes it and she wants to do it.
Yeah.
So what is it going to be?
It was supposed to be September 29th, so not this Saturday, but the following.
And is that's a home ball game?
Not a home ball game. It's a Louisville game, but it's away. And we suck. So.
And she said that on the record.
That's what I was going to say.
Sorry. Wow. Sorry, Taggart. I'm thanking you. So I have that. Yes.
Oh, I was going to mention this later. I already mentioned it to Ron, but I toured the Innovation Hub with Ken Baldock.
Yes.
Yesterday, which is pretty remarkable. There may be some things that we can talk to Ken. He'd love to present to the board at some point. But he's got, if you haven't reached out to him to promote it, he might be another opportunity in the next few days. He works with engineering, so some of his kids are going to know about it, but they've just got a really different space. And students who are wanting to do something a little outside the classroom. So just a thought, if you want to do a push until Monday, but I agree with the rest of the conversation, if it doesn't work, it was a great idea, but we can focus on other things.
Kristen,
would
this program
go
be
VR
a place or
yes.
a
we haven't watched it yet, we're waiting until Monday.
would his
how much of that is?
Would his place be somewhere we want to have a future board meeting?
I didn't mean to interrupt Denise with this, but Ken did ask if he could present to the board at some point or host the board meeting at the Innovation Hub. He is keenly aware, like Antonio over at Domi, that they could be pipeline for Innovation Park, that we're working together. I think parking is a question, Dave, because it's on FSU campus, so we may, if we do a meeting over there, it's a fabulous facility. It would be really neat to see it, but we may want to think about, like a June or July board meeting or something like that, or August.
Maybe we get a short bus and take it up from here over to campus.
Yeah, but
what?
Maybe we get an FSU short bus to take from here to campus.
Or we could do that.
Yeah. All right, we'll keep that in mind. Excuse me, Denise, you're back on the floor.
Sure.
I'm going to try to get us through here by a few more minutes.
I'll try to go quick. All right, so for monthly newsletters, I sent out the public one today for September. I've also been sending out the bi-monthly newsletters for the Board of Governors. I'm having more than half people open it, so that's good. Hopefully, when you guys get it, you'll open it and see. This is more kind of the back end of what we're actually doing so that we keep you more informed. Social media, like I said, our numbers are continuing to go up.
Is your main page Innovation Park Tallahassee?
Yes. Yep, it's that one. One thing that I am working on with the College of Engineering and the Mag Lab is with the Mag Lab Open House Weekend, we are trying to turn that into something called Science Weekend at Innovation Park, which will be a 3 to 4 day event. The College of Engineering wants to do potentially a lab crawl on Friday night, and then we have the Mag Lab open house on Saturday, And then we were talking about doing drone racing or some type of race on Sunday over here, kind of working with the robotics or something with that. Hopefully we will be doing that. We're still kind of vetting everything, but I have also agreed for Innovation Park to be a sponsor of the MagLab Open House because I think that we should be with them being here. We need to kind of promote them. I'm still working on the STEM outreach platform on the website. I have most of the information that people have been willing to give me. So I'm going to start putting it on after the Innovation Hunt, depending on where that all goes. I'll be doing that. And then after that, I'm going to be working on a market research analysis of all the research university research parks in the United States and kind of creating a comparative analysis. And I'm hoping to have that for the strategic planning meeting that we have in December. And that is it for me.
Is that all?
Yeah.
You can quickly see her enthusiasm.
She's doing great.
I want to compliment you, Denise, for the ideas that you bring up, the thought process you put into it. It's well done. I appreciate it. Your work is very, very well appreciated.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And while I'm doing it, Peggy, thank you for all the administration support you give us.
Yes.
The accuracy in which you get things recorded and out to us on time and the emails and all. I'm delighted with our staff and what they mean to us.
And if I could add to that, in the case of Peggy, she's the unsung hero because we all get to initiate a lot of things, and we get credit for doing it, but she's behind the scenes helping to make sure things happen and supporting all that we're doing. So just thank her a lot.
All right, Ron, and then you and me. Then me, and then we go.
Okay, just real quick, because frankly I haven't had time to do a whole lot else besides work on this EDA grant, but the trail project continues to move along. You've got questions today. They're ready to go to permitting. And then they've got most of the design work done. I've got the 60% drawings. I don't know how you get from 60 to 100% on a trail, but it looks pretty detailed to me as far as trails go.
The plans are great.
Let's never get there.
There'll be 2 foot of grass. Maybe that's the other 40%.
I have a person who works on the campus here want to know what the surface is going to be.
It's going to be crushed shell.
Crushed shell.
Yes.
Okay.
It's very hard, very durable.
Compact?
Compacted. It almost is like concrete. It's just very hard. It's not like loose gravel.
It binds together.
Yeah.
You roll a roller over it.
I believe they do. Because if you've ever been out, anybody ever been out to Pedrick Library and the trail around that big pond out there, it's the same material. As I mentioned before, I took my dog out there.
Where are you speaking of?
Exploring to make sure it was what we
Pedrick
wanted.
Pedrick Road. Is it like a walking trail or something?
It's around Mahan, the library.
Mahan and Pedrick.
Can't library.
Actually, there's a pond next to the library.
Right across from
Lafayette. It's a great surface.
Yeah.
Right. I like it.
Right, so anyway, so that's moving along. We're still on schedule for spring grand opening of the trail. And we'll work on all the stuff that will go along with that as we move along.
Well, friend, first.
Next best priority is the 501c3. We've got feedback from the attorney. I've just got to get through it, and then we'll get those documents ready and get our first board meeting going. And I already have some thoughts on potential board members that we might want to start talking about.
Okay.
And finally, last but not least, strategic planning. We've still got a little time. I did reach out to Joe Wallace at the Central Florida Research Park. They've been around, they've been very successful, to see if he could come in and help us facilitate. He initially said, yes, love to. And then he checked with his wife, and apparently they're flying out the next day somewhere, and he can't do it. So I'm back to square one, but we will find someone who can help facilitate that meeting, hopefully someone that has some research park experience, at least understands what we're dealing with, rather than just getting somebody who knows how to facilitate strategic planning. So if you all have any ideas of anyone that you would recommend, let me know.
If you know and like this guy, is there any chance of moving the meeting one day? Would that help him?
It was hard to get it.
I know.
The only date we could get anyone to come close to agreeing to was the original board meeting date in December. We tried so many different dates that I don't know that he would be great to have. I don't think it's the end all be all.
It's not worth it, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you checked with SU Research to see if there's
somebody that they're familiar with, maybe it's on the FSU campus that could.
I have not, but I will.
Like your ass trainer's on this.
I'll check on
the
ask Eric to see what
the
he
last
did.
One.
We did.
You just did it internally. Yeah.
It was me.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to do that.
Okay, is that it?
That's all I got.
All right, real quick, you have seen on the very last page of the packet that we sent you a proposed list of the committees, committee membership. Ron sent out, I think, an inquiry and said, if you got one that you really want to jump in and say, I need to be on this committee, let us know. Did you hear anything back?
I heard from two folks. Ray Vice said he'd love to be on the budget committee. And Eric Holmes said status quo is fine, but he'll do whatever he want, whatever we need for him to do. That's, okay. That's the only responses I got.
I replied to whatever, wherever it got sent. Maybe I replied to Dave.
Dave didn't send it. I'm sorry. I apologize if I missed that. But
yeah.
If you said
and I'm fine.
If you said you were fine, I didn't change anything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. We may have some changes to this as we go on. We probably will have at least, could be a different member representing the city. So we have to work with that coming up. What else have we got? That may be it. We're going to add another committee in here later in the year, so we'll figure out who ought to be on that. So this will be, without any further discussion, where we ask our members to spend some time this year. Any further comment? Okay.
Is
chair then appoints these members as committee chairs and members. Okay, next thing I will talk about real quick is our board meeting is set for October 4th. I'm going to ask everybody to try to be here on time. And I'm going to ask Ron just to send out a reminder if we want to get out on time. That'd be my responsibility, but it'd be their responsibility to get us started on time. So,
Peggy, if you'll make note of that and
yeah,
so put it in there, Dave says.
What time is it, man?
Same time.
What the hell is that? 11. You'd assume I remember.
11:30.
I'm sorry, but on October 4th, I will be in Lake Como, Italy, and unable to attend.
Oh, that's terrible.
And I'm not calling in.
October the 4th. All right, and then the last thing is, I cannot speak highly enough about the need for all of us to try to beat the strategic planning meeting. And again, come on time, be prepared to offer new ideas, be prepared to stand up and say, this is a concern I have, this is some direction we need to be thinking about, if there are budget issues, if there are facility issues, if there are whatever, help us think in terms of where we need to be 3 years down the road. We'll have some challenges. By this time, we ought to have some reasonable understanding of whether we might get this award or not. And at least we'll know whether the city stepped up and made their contribution to it. Not the city, but the OEB. And so we'll at least have a little more input. But 3 years down the road, that's a long time for us to be thinking. But boy, there are a lot of things in between here and 3 years. Are there any other items to come before the committee?
I just want to say thank you for, I was running late today, but you started the meeting on time.
Right.
That's what gets people here on time.
Yeah.
Just start.
Yeah.
I think it's the only way to do it, and I appreciate it.
And I think the big thing with board meetings is because of food, you know, I think that delays some things sometimes too. So actually getting early and getting food, I think it's helpful. Even though it's 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, when you're eating food, eating lunch, but, you know.
Come fill your plate. We might say as we don't have enough food for everybody to get here
early. And you're paying for it no matter whether you eat or not.
Peggy insists on having leftovers. I don't know what's up with that.
We are adjourned.
Cool.
But Peggy, if you're going to do